Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. I think this is the first time I've ever been with you on a Sunday morning. So I've been here Wednesdays before, but what a joy to be with you this morning. Had kind of a rough start this morning. Took the dogs out this morning and got stung by a wasp on my toes. My toes kind of throbbing this morning, but we'll take it for the team and we'll get through it. So, good to be with you. I wanted to draw attention to announcements that are on the back of the bulletin. Got a couple of interesting things coming up. So, but that Ridgeville barbecue looks really good, and LWML, the fall retreat is coming up. So take note of those announcements, please. Are there any other additional announcements that should be spoken at this time from anybody? No? Or good? Okay. We're going to be specially focusing this morning on that Canaanite woman who came to Jesus begging for her daughter to be released of a demon. And so our opening hymn kind of picks up on that theme as we bring to Jesus every care and concern of ours. So our opening hymn is, I'll get my glasses on here then, "Come My Soul With Every Care." God bless you as you worship.
Come my soul with every care, Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not turn away. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilt set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, thy rest to me impart, take possession of my heart. There thy blood-bought right remaintain, and without a rival reign. While I am a pilgrim here, let thy love my spirit cheer. As my guide, my guard, my friend, lead me to my journey's end. Show me what is mine to do, every hour my strength renew. Let me live a life of faith, let me die thy people's death.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as an ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it beginning is now and ever. At the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Seated. Our Old Testament reading for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Roman Christians in the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved and for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that by mercy shown to you, they may also receive now mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise up for the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Then he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join our voices then in the confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. It can be found on the inside of the back cover of your hymnal. Together then we join to confess.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and we'd like to invite the children present this morning to come on forward for you for a message for you this morning. Please come on up. Here you go. How are you today? I'm Pastor Nierman. I don't know if I've got to meet all of you before. What's your name?
Violet.
Violet, okay. And what's your name?
Hattie.
Hattie, okay. And what about you guys?
Barrett.
And Wyatt. Nice to meet you all. Good to be with you today. I want to share a little word of God with you today, okay? And it was from what we heard just a little bit earlier. When Paul said this, let's see if I can find this verse here. He said, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, to somehow make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. Paul wants to make his fellow Jews jealous. So I gave you a treat, didn't I? Yeah. Are the rest of you jealous?
No.
No?
That's not what it is.
It's fruit snacks. Okay, I'm a little jealous. But do you ever get jealous of people who have something maybe that you don't have? I think we all get jealous, don't we, sometimes? Maybe somebody's got a nicer house or a bigger car or something like that, right?
My dad has a 9,000.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm jealous because I like light in my room while I sleep, and my brother doesn't like light.
Oh, okay.
I only have one window, and he has two windows.
Oh, okay. You only have one, and he has two. Yeah, we get jealous about all kinds of things. So, okay. Well, is jealousy good or bad?
It depends on.
Oh, okay, all righty. Well, here's what the Bible says in James, in the book of James. It says, for where jealousy is, there will be every evil practice. When people are jealous, they do all kinds of terrible things, don't they? They might get mad at the person they're jealous of, or they might not want to talk with them or hate them, or maybe even want to steal what they have. People who are jealous don't do very good things sometimes, right? But can jealousy be good?
No.
Well, Paul said, I want to make my fellow Jews jealous. What if jealousy makes people want Jesus? Would that be good jealousy?
Yes.
That would be good jealousy, right? Right. So, you see, Paul is happy, right? Paul has a Savior. And who is his Savior?
Jesus,
right? What did Jesus do to save Paul?
He made him blind for 3 days.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The whole story of being blind for 3 days, and then, but he did the same thing for Paul. He did for all of us, right? He died on the cross for our sins. And when Paul learned about that, he was so happy. He had a Savior, happiness forever. But his fellow Jews did not believe in Jesus, and so Paul says, if my faith in Jesus and my happiness in Jesus makes them jealous for him, that's a good thing, because maybe out of jealousy, they will want Jesus too. and they will be saved. Can you and I make people jealous for Jesus?
Yeah, probably.
How do we do that?
By saying what he can do for us if you believe in him.
Ah, by telling them what he's done. Maybe by telling them what he's done for us, right? What did he do for me? My Lord Jesus died on the cross for my forgiveness. I have peace with God. I have joy and happiness. I have a home with God forever. I have hope. I have all of these gifts from Jesus, don't I? And maybe that will make somebody jealous for him and say, you know what? I want all of that for myself. Would that be a good thing?
Yeah.
It would be. Yeah. 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 But let's live our lives so that we make other people jealous for Jesus, okay? Let's show people our joy. Let's show people how happy we are in Jesus. And let's tell them we're forgiven and we have a place with God forever. Show them how much you love Jesus, and maybe they'll be jealous for Jesus and want him too. And that would be the best thing of all, wouldn't it? So let's pray. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and your forgiveness that you won for me on the cross. I want to make other people share my happiness. So help me to live with peace and joy and love that makes them jealous for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not going to leave you jealous here, Hattie, right? I might just have something for the rest of you too, okay, before you go back to the pews, while the congregation starts to get ready to sing the next hymn, okay? So thank you for coming up.
When in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for it, but days and nights of anxious thought, no help or counsel yet have brought.
Then in our comfort thus
Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. God's word from our gospel reading today, Matthew chapter 15, especially these verses 25 through 27. But she, that Canaanite woman, came and knelt before Jesus saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in 2017, we got a dog. Maya is her name. She was the one I was taking out this morning when I got stung by a wasp. And from the moment we got her, we made the decision that we were not going to feed her from the table. We always heard that that's not what's best for dogs. I don't know what you do with your dogs, but I know that she would make it awfully hard for us to stick to our resolve. Because every time you'd sit down to a meal, Maya would sit there on the floor next to you, and she would put her paws up on your leg and put her chin on your lap and look at you with those little puppy labradoodle eyes and just melt your heart, you know. And it was everything inside of you wanted to give her a scrap of food from the table. And what's remarkable is that even though she never got a scrap from the table, well, never... she never seemed to give up hope that maybe this time we will finally give in, right? Maybe this will be the meal where something will fall from the table, or maybe we will finally crack and she'll get to scoop up some of our food. She was the embodiment of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love hopes all things. You know, if Maya had just been around 30 or 35 years ago, when our kids were little, she'd have had a veritable smorgasbord under our table. But she never loses hope. And even to this day, she still does that, hoping one day she's going to hit the jackpot. That's what that Canaanite woman was hoping for in our gospel reading today. This poor lady, she had had some very rough days. Her daughter had been possessed by a demon. And this agent of Satan had attacked her body, apparently, severely, is what the mother says. It just must have been, I can't even imagine, as a mother, how it would be to watch your daughter attacked in that way and suffer in that way. But she heard that Jesus was in the area, and she heard that he was able to cast out demons, and so she went begging for help. Like a dog might sit at its master's table begging for a scrap of food. "Have mercy on me, son of David," she pleaded. "Please, please help my girl." And she went on so loud and so long that she began to get on the nerves of the disciples. And she became a nuisance to them. And they said to Jesus, "Get rid of her. Tell her to go away. She keeps crying out to us. Besides that, she's a foreigner and a Canaanite, and we all know how Canaanites are. Lord, tell her to leave us alone." And of course, the disciples are right about her being a foreigner and a Canaanite and how Canaanites are, you know. St. Mark tells us that she is Syrophoenician, which means that she lives up on the seacoast, on the north, just north of Israel, a place where the people are known for their false gods and their immoral practices. And according to the law of Moses and the customs of the day, Jesus owes her nothing to this beggar woman. He was well within his rights to simply ignore her, dismiss her, have her taken away, as he says to his disciples when they complain to him. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," as if to agree with them. It's a strange answer, isn't it? I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But the Old Testament predicts, and we read it in our Old Testament reading today, predicts that the Messiah's mission will be global. He comes for all peoples. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John that he came to save the world. Why then does he say, I came only to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, here's why. He is setting things up to teach a lesson that his disciples will never forget. And so, this woman, he allows her to stay, and she keeps on pleading, keeps on begging, kneeling before Jesus, Lord, help me, help me, help my girl. At which point, Jesus utters some of the most surprising words in all of his ministry. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Why does the Savior of the nations compare this poor, desperate mother to a dog? That is so offensive. In our day, we'd say racist. This is a Jewish superiority instead of a white superiority. This is a Jewish superiority. Compare this lady to a dog? But I think what's going on here is that Jesus is setting all of this up for that teachable moment. He recognizes the strength of faith that this woman has. And it presents him a golden moment for a powerful, teachable moment. And so he calls her a dog. Not that he really believes that about her or thinks that about her. He loves her and has come to this earth to save her. But just as our Lord knew that she would, she turns that insult into one of the most powerful examples of faith that we have in the Gospels. And instead of saying, hey, nobody treats me like that, that's racist, that's Jewish superiority. No, no. You hear what she says? Yes, Lord. She agrees with him. Yes, Lord. I am a dog, and I know it. But even the dogs will sometimes eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Her response to Jesus' insult is just magnificent in so many ways. She knows her place and she accepts it. She knows that she is a beggar before God, that God owes her nothing. But she also knows who Jesus is. She knows of his mercy and his compassion and his kindness. And she takes this insult and she turns it into one of the supreme statements of faith that we have in the scriptures. Yes, Lord, I'm a dog and I know it. But Jesus, I know that dogs sometimes eat the scraps from their master's table. And I'm not going to give up on you and begging you for a crumb of your mercy. This Canaanite woman is just beautiful. She's like our Maya, never giving up hope that something might fall from the master's table and be a blessing to her. You know, so many of our problems, I think so much of our strife in our land, our racial strife and otherwise, and our strife in our interpersonal relationships, it all stems from an elevated view of ourselves. We think more highly of ourselves than we really ought. But the Bible, of course, you know what the Bible teaches us. We're all in the same boat. We're all born spiritually sick and blind. And I know, you know, we all accept that as a matter of doctrine. This is what the Bible teaches, and we accept it at that level. But oftentimes, when it gets right down to it, we get in our minds that somehow we're a little better than somebody else, a little more deserving of God's favor, Perhaps it's this idea that the customer is always right. You know, God is the store owner. He has everything, and we are his customers, and if we aren't pleased with his service to us, we complain, and then we are not satisfied until we have it our way. But we are not customers, folks. We are beggars. That's what Martin Luther famously said on his death. Well, he wrote it on his deathbed. Just before he died, Martin Luther was asked if he would die standing upon Christ and upon the doctrine that he had taught. And Luther said in German, Jawohl, if you know German, you know what that means. Yes. Yes, I stand upon Christ and upon this doctrine I have taught. And he died. And there was a scrap of paper next to his deathbed on which Luther had written the very last words that he ever wrote. Wir sein Pettler, hoc est verum. A little German, a little Latin. Wir sein Pettler, hoc est verum. We are beggars. It is true. We are beggars. And beggars can't be choosers. God owes us nothing. As the Catechism teaches us in the fifth petition, we are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. And we all need to remember constantly, as did that Canaanite woman, that everything depends upon the grace of God. As Scripture says, it is by grace you are saved through faith. That's not your own doing, it's the gift of God. The worst thing we can do is cop an attitude with God that somehow he is beholden to us and owes us something, that we deserve better. No, we don't. But instead, we have the beautiful example of this persistent prayer of faith of this dog woman of Canaan. Even the dogs will sometimes eat a crumb from the master's table. And all I beg of you, Lord, is a crumb. And just as we find it hard to look into the eyes of our dog and deny them, do you think Jesus can deny that prayer? But his gracious nature wants to feed you, wants to take care of you. And so the crumbs begin to fall. We said we never fed the dog from the table. Once in a while, a crumb might accidentally slip from the table. But it's no accident when it's Jesus. No, and it's not just crumbs. But his blessings fall in rich abundance so that we are supplied not only our daily bread, you know, the food, clothes, house, home, meat, drink, good government, good friends, good weather, health, peace, self-control, all those, every good crumb of his mercy. But in addition to that, as if that weren't enough, he provides us everything we need for the spirit and the soul. He forgives us our debts and our sins for the sake of his death and resurrection, washes away the stains of our past lives and our foolish errors, gives us his only Son as the sacrifice who takes away our guilt before God and prepares a place for us forever in the Father's house. And not only that, he then invites us to pray and promises to hear our prayers for mercy and to never stop praying. Pray persistently. And how do we know he hears us? Because he spoke our name in our baptism and joined us to him and to his salvation. And now he calls us to receive the gift of bread and wine, his body and blood and the Holy Supper, not just crumbs that fall from his table, but you are invited to the table, a veritable feast and a banquet of his mercy that falls to us dogs from the altar of his cross. As you know, this Canaanite woman of remarkable faith did in fact receive a crumb of Christ's mercy. She withstood the test of her faith. She stood up firm in her hope, and her daughter was healed. And the disciples and we learn a lesson we must never forget. So what needs do you have of God? Are you sick or maybe uncertain about your health or maybe afraid of what the future holds or maybe you're heartbroken or lonely or maybe bearing a burden of guilt of some kind? Take this woman's example of faith and plead for his mercy and his help, because his mercy endures forever. And you will receive just what you need. Well, maybe not what you wanted, but you will receive what you need. Don't be too proud to say to your Lord, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog, and I know it. But won't you let this little dog have just a scrap of your mercy?" Do you think he's going to turn you away? Never. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, grant us and your whole church on earth unity and harmony, that our life may be marked by worship, witness, prayer, and service to those within and outside the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, bless those who faithfully serve us in your name, including our Synod President, Matthew Harrison, our District President, Kevin Wilson, our pastors and all church workers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Caring Father, visit the homes of your people. Keep them from all harm and danger, and grant that they would dwell together in peace under the protection of your holy angels. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, grant that the government and those who protect us may keep justice and do righteousness for your name's sake and according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, care for those who cry out to you in their need, whether beset with grief or sorrow or pain or trouble of any kind. We remember in our prayers Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Pat, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather and Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Jordan, Chelsea, Linda, and Soli, and all others that we may know as well. Be pleased for Christ's sake to answer them according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, bless all who are about to receive Christ's body and blood from this altar. Grant that these crumbs from your table may strengthen us in faith and love, united with you and our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, grant that the church may steadfastly proclaim your irrevocable gifts and your calling, that the disobedient may receive mercy, and that those who hear become grafted onto Jesus Christ, the true vine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord God, giver of all that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your grace, that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life and be found worthy when our Savior comes to bring to completion all things. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day humbled himself by taking the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And now risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
By our Lord, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the true body of Jesus Christ, given in death for your forgiveness. Blood of Jesus, shed for you upon the cross, for your forgiveness and the strengthening of your faith. May this body and blood of the Savior strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Spread the reign of God, the Lord, spoken, written, mighty word. Everywhere his creatures call to his heavenly banquet hall. Tell how God the Father's will made the world uphold.
Mighty word, the field, write the